department. Appreciate your service to us. Amen. I trust you all are doing well out there. Amen. By God's grace, and certainly want to welcome all who are online. The Lord bless you mightily. Amen. All you have your Bibles, please. If you would turn to Job chapter 12, 2, and we'll go right into prayer. Amen. Is interesting. I'm sure I am confused. The verse I want, and I don't know how I got this wrong, is "He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them, and enlargeth the nations and straiteneth them." I copied from some notes, and obviously that's not the scripture here, but that's what I want to bring out. He, the Lord, increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. You'll have to put that in your concordance and find out what that one is. I could look it for you, but for the sake of time, we'll continue. Turn to Romans 8:11. I should have verified that. Yes. Okay. 23. I probably got all right. Thank you. 12:23. All right. All right. Romans 8:11 now. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we don't look to anything, Lord. We look to You. Lord, You are the author and finisher of our faith. You're the one who brought it to us, Lord. You're the one that is shaping it in us, O God, and You're the one that is completing it and bringing it to full completion. We pray, Lord, that You help us this morning. We pray, Lord, that You help set aside everything, O God, and we just want to focus right in on You and pray, Lord, You take total control of this vessel, Lord, and these lips, Father, and this mind, Lord, just put it everything aside. And also, Lord, that Your words would fall on prepared soil, O God. And help us, Lord, we want to push the devil back. And anything that he would try to do this morning, Father, we take full authority through the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask, Lord, that all things be done for Your glory and for Your honor. Even as You take control, this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Trust everybody's doing well. Amen. So good to see everybody, everyone. Hallelujah. Brother Daniel, it's good to see you this morning, my dear brother. And David, God bless you. We're certainly going to be lifting you up in prayer. We're going to miss you. Amen. We know the Lord is going before you. And He's got a purpose. He's going to watch over you. And just know that we're just going to keep lifting you up in prayer. Amen. Keep our young brother in prayer there. And, of course, his family. A lot of things that we do by faith. And and we just, whatever we do, we just commit it to the Lord. We know that He goes before us. Amen. We don't have Brother Nestor here. I apologize. I was hoping that he would come. So do you want to translate, Brother Derek?
Yeah, I'll do it here.
Oh, okay. You doing all right, Mr. Dahlia? God bless you. Amen. Amen. So, and we do want to keep our Brother Juan in prayer. I did try reaching out to him. There's just no responsible. That's Spanish, right? We really care a lot of our brother, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with him. And for those, I don't know if you've heard or not, maybe you weren't here Wednesday. For those that didn't hear, he had actually pulled over in his truck, his SUV. He saw somebody on the side of the road. He went out to help him. And when he got down to help with changing a tire or something like that, his own vehicle came. He didn't have it in park or something. And it rolled and it pinned his knee right down to the pavement. And he had to wait until the emergency vehicle came along, was actually able to back it off of his leg. His leg is broken, and whatever other trauma that he endured there, was waiting to hear an update and try to get a hold of him, but I had not been successful to do that. So let's just keep our brother in prayer. Amen. So, amen. Now, what I'm going to do here this morning, and I'm going to start up with kind of a macro view, an overview, very tall at the top, looking across a timeline. I'm trying to do this slow so Brother Derek can keep up. And then we're just going to bring it right to home of what I believe the Lord is wanting us as a body, wanting us as a people of God to see, to focus in at. And through this all, I want us to have that assurance that the Lord is in control of all things. Amen. Everything is by Him and for His glory. Amen?
Amen?
And I'd like to first start out, we just got off this past week celebrating Thanksgiving Day. And we know what all of that is. We know that these pilgrims coming from Holland and England, coming across over to the United States, actually a new land, the New World, if you would. The United States obviously was not around at that time, but they had this one purpose, and that is they had in their heart that they wanted the freedom to worship God according to their own conscience, that they didn't want to be under the dictates of some government to tell them how and what and why that they could worship the Lord their God. Okay, and the first winter that they went through was very traumatic. They lost about half the people. 78% of those that died were the women, which is very hard when you're trying to establish a colony. You lose your women. They lost some men and some of the children as well, but they succumbed to disease. Okay, so obviously, That summer, you know, we know the story of Somerset and the story of Squanto. How, as an Indian speaking English, having been in England and as captured as a slave and having been brought back over, the Lord had absolutely worked everything out, even Squanto being there. God had totally prepared a place for them. Now, think about that, where they would actually succeed in being able to survive. Okay, it just everything worked out, you know. And sadly, you know, even if a lot of the United States and everything, so much of the American Indian, the Native American Indian, died because of disease, smallpox, and everything. And if that didn't happen, then these settlers more than likely would not have been able to settle, you know, in that land. And that is not my point. My point is that God went before them and they established a foothold which later on would bring birth to a nation. And that nation was founded upon the freedom of expression of worship to God, to Christ. Amen? And the Lord blessed them, and they had a harvest celebration of God's goodness to them. And that we now, it was actually a gal who had this in her heart. She was the one that the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb. She saw it was so important and vital that the nation give thanks to the Lord. It had been practiced in the New England states, but she had a desire. Her burden was to see the whole nation do that. And so she approached Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln, of course, agreed to it, and they made it the fourth Thursday of every November going forth, is offering up a day nationwide, that day to be a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we are grateful for all that the Lord has done. The Lord had established that this nation would rise up. This nation would rise up because it had a place to play in history. One of the things it did is that it was actually a launching pad for Christianity to come up and to bring evangelism and missionaries around the world, that the gospel message would go forth. The other thing that would take place too, we see that in Revelations, that it is the Lamb having two horns, civil and ecclesiastical. These two horns were, and it's interesting, Brother Branham said it was a young country. The fact that it was a lamb, it wasn't a sheep, it was a young country. It wasn't given a chance to even get old as nations can get. It was still, comparative speaking, a young nation. And that nation was going to be used again for another purpose. There was God's purpose, and then there was Satan's purpose. And that this purpose here would be to give power to the beast, right? It was going to give life to the image of the beast, and it was going to give power to the beast. This is absolutely fulfilling what was spoken of almost 2,000 years earlier. Can you see how it is that God has everything in control? Amen? So again, everything by Him and for Him. Amen. Amen. Now, amen. When this nation was founded, it was interesting, just a little footnote, Benjamin Franklin stated during the Great Constitution Convention, when things became contentious, an apparent impasse had been reached. It seemed like they weren't making any progress at all. And at that point, this is what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, it is probable that an empire is it probable that an empire can rise without His aid. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without His concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves will become a reproach and a byword to future ages. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in that service." So even God had put in Benjamin Franklin's heart to stand up and make that proclamation. Either God is in this, or the whole thing is going to fail. But God's hand was in the establishing of this country. Amen? Okay. All right. So, we see that the Lord's purpose was moving in the affairs of men to establish his purpose and his plan that he's had ever since the beginning of time. And even America, coming in as a nation, had a purpose to fulfill God's greater plan. Amen? And he's still working. The Lord is still working, still bringing to pass the things that he desires. And if you really want to get a thrill, go to a couple of sites. One is onewithisrael.org, and the other one is imetmessiah.com. These are Jewish sites that are actually reaching out to Jews with the gospel by born-again Jews who have met the Messiah. And it's an incredibly exciting thing, and how that through this media means they're actually able to get into these deep recesses of Israel in these very strict Jewish communities that you can't even get a New Testament there at all. You can't buy a New Testament. It's forbidden to even have one in your possession there. You know, think of that. And yet, these young people are there with their tablets, they're there with their phones, and they're stumbling across these sites, and they're hearing about the Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach. And it's exciting as they begin to have their eyes opened up to the gospel. You can see that the Spirit of God is beginning to move on the Jewish people to accept Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for us? It means the time is winding down. It means that the light is turning from the Gentiles and it's moving back to the Jews, which means our time is coming. Amen. I mean, it is now, but the full manifestation of the bride of Jesus Christ and her being taken from the earth, we're nearing that. We're nearing that. Amen. 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 So, think back now. If God can deliver his people out of Egypt, as was foretold by Abraham, with the first Exodus, he foretold it, and it happened. He did it. Amen? And if he foretold that he would take a church out of the Jewish church, the second Exodus, if you would, it happened. And he did. And it is certain he's able to pull a bride out of the church for the third Exodus. He said it. He promised it. Amen. And he's doing it. Amen. Psalm 118:22 states, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner." The 23rd verse said, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Even their rejection of the cornerstone was in the plan of God. Think about that. God moves on the hearts of the people. You know that when the children of Israel got delivered out of Egypt, he said, "I will give favor in the eyes of the Egyptians so that you will spoil them. You will get their gold, their silver, and all manners of things. I will give this favor. I will allow you to have favor in their eyes." They had nothing to do with their beauty or their suaveness or anything else. God was the one that caused them to win favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Can you see how futile it is for us to try in our own efforts to do anything? See, we need the Lord to give us this grace. And if God has given us this grace, then we cannot fail. See, that's the part we've got to see, is if God is in it, we cannot fail. Amen. Amen. Brother Don has been very busy, very much going over his different sermons, talking about from the believing to the becoming. Amen. And so I'd like to launch out, if we would. Again, now we're coming back to us. This again, we're up here, up high, where we've got an overall arching view. We can see what God has been doing back there. Now we need to bring it down to where we are. Amen? Why God is doing all these things around the world, and He's even beginning to move and deal with the Jews right now. He's dealing with the bride of Jesus Christ too. Amen. So even as the elections are held in the balance here, with the President of the United States held in the balance, even that is the doings of God. How is it going to fall? Which way is it going to fall? Is it going to pay you to throw money one side or the other? Is that going to make a difference? No. Unless the Lord build the house. Okay? It all depends on God's timing, what He wants to bring to pass.
Amen.
Are we going to have more grace? Is it going to be a light a little bit further where we can go out and we can witness and we can testify? Amen. Or is the darkness going to fall suddenly upon us where it'll be so dark? Jesus said that no man can work. It's in the hands of God. It's in the hands of God. So, we don't know what's going to happen that way. But we know this. We know that right now, the Lord, even as He's beginning to turn towards the Jews, He's working with the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Now, it may not seem like it sometimes. But even that, listen, you think God is so feeble that He cannot move you to do His purpose? Of course not. What I'd like to pull from and draw from this morning is to try to focus in from the believing to the becoming is the message, the token. The token that was preached there in Louisiana Life Tabernacle. He preached the token in four places. And you can get these similar thoughts in any four of these messages, but I just borrowed out of this one. As I was listening to it, and I just found myself again questioning it, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we can say something over and over and over again, that just the hearing of it becomes threadbare. All of a sudden, it doesn't have the impact on us that it should anymore. And so as I'm going over some of these things, I risk that you've already heard these things, and indeed you have. I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard already, but there's going to come a time when just the hearing of the word and just understanding those words is going to be quickened in us, and it's going to be manifested. Amen? And so I felt the Lord just come and say, that's it. That's what I want you to bring out. So bear with me today, and I pray, pull, and may these words here become a reality, I pray, in our hearts this morning. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, when Brother Branham was preaching the token, he was drawing from Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So he took that word, a token. A token. He said, what is the definition of a token? He means that the price has been paid. Now, these are all the things you've heard and you know so well. Oh, we've heard it. If you'd heard it once, you've probably heard it 100 times. Amen? But it's the truth. Let's read this. Let's go to Exodus 12:2. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we're going to get to where we're going to sound messagey. We're going to be able to say certain things that people have built upon to go off on some kind of a tangent, instead of taking indeed what Brother Branham had brought and bringing it right back to the Bible. I will tell you this assuredly, that if you can't see it clearly in the Bible, you haven't understood what Brother Branham was saying. Brother Branham was preaching was pure Bible. This is what he's talking about. So we're talking about the token. You know what that token is, right? Amen? You know what that token is? It's the literal life of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying anything. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak. These are things that you've heard over and over again. Exodus 12, if you would. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without a blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That's significant. In the evening. And you shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house wherein you shall eat it. Okay? Leviticus 17:11 tells us, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood for it that maketh an atonement for the soul. So they were told to take the blood that was on the lamb, to take that blood and to put it on the doorposts of their outside their door, and that the death angel, when they were to see that blood that was on that doorpost, that the death angel would fly over. It's all that was required was that they put the blood on the doorpost. Amen? In the message, Brother Branham draws from that, and he talks about the life. He says it's important to realize, he says, that the life is in the blood. Amen? We know that the physical blood of Jesus went into the ground. We can't take a drop of his physical blood. We can't apply it to anywhere on us. It's just not there at all. It's not talking about then the physical blood of Jesus Christ. It's actually talking about the life that was in the blood. Amen? That a believer, when they come and they believe and they receive the atonement, what Jesus Christ has done for them, that his life comes into the believer. Amen? Brother Branham makes a statement, says that animal life could not come back onto the believer, but the life of Christ, which was the life of God, the Holy Ghost, not a human life, but a super, super, super life, comes back on to the believer, and the believer lives that life, he says, just like sparks flying off an anvil. Think of the power of the Lord. Amen. Think of the power of the Lord in a believer who has yielded fully to the Lord, his life coming in him. Amen. Causing the believer to do things as Christ did. So the life of Christ, the Holy Ghost, is the token today, which we've already established. When I see the token, I will pass over you. Amen. Brother Branham makes interesting comments about that. And if you bear with us, I'd like to go over some of those comments because it's important that we feel that we catch the inspiration of what Brother Branham was talking about. He's talking about the token. It was no good. Didn't matter that you slain the lamb. Didn't matter that you washed your hands in the blood. You had to put that blood where he told it. And that had to be on display. It had to be on display. You couldn't just sympathize with it. You couldn't just believe in it. It took the token, not the covenant. He says, when I see the covenant sign, I'll pass over. He says, but when I see the token. Amen? He says, so today he brings it home. You might be a professed Christian. You might be a covenant with Christ. But unless that token is displayed in this late hour that we're coming to now, there is no way for him to pass over. He's warning us. The prophet of God is putting a warning to the church. The token must be displayed. It must be on. Amen. Now remember, a Jew could come up and say, I'll take you men aside. I believe that to be the truth. I believe Moses is a prophet. Yeah? I believe that the pillar of fire that's guiding him, I believe that that's Jehovah, totally identifying with what's going on. Witness all of it, believes all the word, all the message, but yet, and just as I'm well off as you, because I'm a circumcised Jew, I'm just as well off as you are. If he didn't have that blood in the night of the Passover, he died just the same. And today, every church, every individual that isn't and cannot display that token of the Holy Ghost is spiritually dying and will die. No matter how much you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, no matter how much you can repeat the Apostles' Creed, repeat it, or whatever you might do, no matter how well you're educated, what your theological experience you've had, you might have had doctor's degrees and bachelor's of art and whatever more, at DD, LLD, Doctor of Latin, or whatever you might be, or literature, that won't do it. There must be the token displayed. You see what Brother Branham is doing right now is that he is taking it completely out of the hands of man. And he's putting it right back to God. He says, you must have this token on display. Well, how do I do that? I want to know how to do that, okay? Let's just keep plowing here. Just bear with us. Amen? He talks about the condition of the church. And I want you to remember this. You inside, outside, and he's just talking to where he's preaching right there. The hour has come, and everyone can see the dullness of the church today. Everybody can see the deadness of many. Too many of the members. It's because that you have played around. You've took sensations. He's preaching to Pentecostals. If you took other things and you've trusted upon the wisdom of some man, upon the theology of some organization, upon the membership of your mother's church, and upon some loyal pastor. Now think about that. Just take it home, right? He says, those are all good things. I have nothing against them. He says, no more than the circumcision was to the Jew, but that wasn't God's program. He says, when I see the blood and it only. Whenever the Lord does anything to be a believer, for the believer, it has always been, ever since the beginning of time, is that this is God's program, and are you walking in it? God is identifying himself ever since the beginning of time of whatever he's doing in the world. He always shows himself. He shows his signs, and the believers run to it. Amen. It draws them. And they come under whatever it is, whatever requirement that the Lord has said, they come under. Amen. They walk in obedience to it. And Brother Branham, I'm getting out of my notes here, Brother Branham says, full obedience to the whole word of God entitles us to the token. Think about that. Amen. All right. Brother Branham also kind of helps a little illustration here, and I wish I could draw this, but it's just kind of a simple thing he just wants to draw our attention to. He said, if I have the life of Michelangelo, what would I do? I would be drawing, right? If I said I had the life of Michelangelo, I'd be either chiseling a statue or I'd be painting, you know, on the ceiling or something. You know, I would do what that same spirit that was on him would be inspiring me to do the same thing. If I had the life of Dillinger on me, I would go out and hold up banks. It's kind of a simple thought, a simple concept. And he said, if I had the life of Jesus Christ in me, what would I be doing? He said, I'd be doing the same thing that Jesus Christ himself would be doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Paragraph 100, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, if we could read Hebrews 10:26 and see it mighty plain, we see the great end time signs in the earth warning us time is at hand. All right. What are the guideposts? What are the guideposts that need to be in our life? Okay. This is inventory this morning. We should love one another more than we ever did in all our lives. The love of Christ must be upon us. The Bible says that in the end time, that the love of many would wax cold. Okay? That's part of the plague that is upon the earth. There was plagues that went throughout all of Egypt, that fell upon all of Egypt, but there was a place called Goshen where those plagues didn't have any effect. There is a place in the bride of Jesus Christ, you find that there's coldness, that the love of many will wax cold, that children shall not be in obedience to parents and so forth, all these things. But there's a place of Goshen, the bride of Jesus Christ, where these plagues will not come nigh us. We must stand and not let such. We have a promise that in Christ we are protected from all of that. Amen. So we should love one another more than we did in our lives. There should be such a hunger to get to church. What do you think this thing with COVID and all that? I believe with all my heart, though, that the disease is real. This whole thing is a precursor to something else that's going to come down the road. What are they trying to do? They're trying to take control. They're trying to take control. They're trying to encourage. Now remember, the devil is behind everything that is evil, behind every evil thing. Now think of what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to get us to not gather together. He wants to separate us. What happens to coals when you begin to separate them? They begin to cool off, you know? And Brother Branham even noted when he was down there in Tucson, Tucson, there in Arizona, a lot of people moved out there and they didn't have a church to go to because it was wherever they go, it was always, oh, please, you've got to join our church, wherever it was. They wouldn't allow them to come in and just sit and take in a service and fellowship and worship with them. No, you've got to join this church. And they didn't want that. And so they sat out of church. And Brother Branham, as he came around them, he says he noticed something in their spirit. They're getting dry. They're getting rattly. Is that? Is because they haven't been coming together as a body in a corporate worship. The Lord wants us to get together as a body in a corporate worship, and He even exhorts us all the more as you see the day approach. So it shouldn't be less gathering together, it should be more gathering together as we see the day approach. Amen. So there should be such a hunger to get to church. If we don't feel that way, then we need to get to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to have God stir our hearts again. Amen to that. There should be such a hunger to get together with one another. There should be a love affair. He said, I can't hardly wait to get to Tucson. Oh, God just healed my wife. That was that tumor, if you remember, where before you, a doctor put a hand on the side that tumor would disappear. Well, that had just happened that week, okay? She says, she's a part of me. I can hardly wait to get there. The hours, I'm counting the days and hours when I can get there to be with her. And that's the way the church ought to be, just seeing that, the power of God, what it's done for us. We should be counting the moments, getting together in love, that we can fly away someday to meet Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus Christ. It's a reality. It's a reality that's going to happen someday, that we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And all this that's around us is going to fade out. We're going to be caught up. Amen? It's a reality. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham continues, paragraph 105. He said, he will appear the second time to all those that love is appearing, who love and longing for it. It's a love affair, and how we ought to love one another because we're fellow citizens in the same body. We should have that love one for another. Warning us, the time is at hand. Believers should be separating themselves from the things of the world, the cares of this world. That's the reason I hammer at the women and so forth the way I have. And then separate yourself from these TV programs. Separate yourself from the Hollywood evangelism. Come back to the deepness and sincerity. We stand in the pulpit and jump up and down and laugh and holler and carry on. Women dance over the floor, clothes on them real skin tight, and all kinds of jewelry and stuff hanging on with bobbed hair. Pastor there, a preacher that can put the word together, oh, so perfect, but that isn't it. We don't come to the altar of God laughing and carrying on and cutting up. We come to the altar with sincerity and deepness because that we are dying. You don't go to death laughing and jollying. You've got your right mind. It's an insane person that does that. Okay? So we see these conditions that's pricking at us, that's coming into the churches, that worldliness is kind of drifting in. We can see the coldness. We can feel the draft coming in, you know, cooling down people's experience with God, with Christ. Okay? We can see that. Okay? We may not be guilty of the dress code of the things that Brother Branham was talking about of the churches that he's witnessed. But Satan has definitely got his distraction program on. That's what he is all about. The entire world is affected by it everywhere. Satan has got them totally occupied, totally distracted. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord has the last word. Amen? God has the last word. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He has everyone attached to their smartphones, right? Those devices which learn everything that there is to know about you, where you go and what your habits are, right? Does it control you? Does it have an effect on you? Those are the things, the questions we need to ask us. We're not aware. We're not aware. Sometimes we're not aware. But I believe we are aware of Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of them. What's easier to pick up, your smartphone or the Bible? Much easier to scroll through Facebook or Pinterest or what the latest trendy video is or whatever it is instead of getting into God's Word. Think about that. And if that isn't enough, we even got smartwatches that indicate our heartbeat and how many steps we've taken and let us know if there's a message coming in and everything else there is more to learn about. The captures in that watch. Right? And for what purpose? I often believe that we are more aware of these things here that are there than that still small voice. It's so distracting us that we can't even hear God speaking to us at times. But I believe the Lord is going to have the last word. We can't see that this is another one of Satan's tactics to distract the church of the living God. We need to have God open up our eyes. Amen. Jesus said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better to enter into heaven maimed than to have both eyes and to go into hell. Right? Sometimes you've got to get desperate. You've got to get desperate. If you're hungering for the living God, if you're desperate, you want God to move in on your life, sometimes you've got to do drastic things. What is it that is on your, what's a hold of your life and my life? What is keeping us from walking in the fullness which God has for the bride of Jesus Christ? I believe that that is His question to us this morning. God has laid out everything to us. He has vindicated it by a prophet. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have no excuse of why that we're languishing cold. The Laodicean church age, keep in mind what he said. He said, you are lukewarm, right? I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. We need to shun the lukewarm condition. We need to get that out of us totally. God help us. Amen. Brother Branham makes a statement here in 109 again, speaking of the Passover. He said, now that's what Egypt had to do. He meant Israel. Remember, they tested the lamb for 14 days. He said, get all the filth out of your house. Put all the leaven out. Get Egypt out. He said Egypt here, but I know he meant Israel. They were in Egypt. And Egypt was in them, right? They had to move all of that out. They were a separated people, and the Lord was beginning to demonstrate to them how separate they were. Get all the leaven out. You can't take no leaven. When this mark has come into your house, this token, you cannot have a leaven in it. That's the world. You can't love God and mammon. The world at the same time, all the cares of the world, all the cares in your creeds, all your fusses and differences, you're coming to Jesus Christ. Dear saints, you're coming to Jesus Christ. Paragraph 123, Brother Branham says, if the life of Jesus Christ lives in the person, they become identified with them. It's Christ in you, not a church member, not a system, but a resurrected power. It's the Holy Ghost. It's a token upon you that your life says amen to every scripture. The promise is written there. When the Holy Ghost comes into your life, He said He would be your teacher to lead and guide you into all truth. So when you see His truth flash across your path, you see that inside of you, it says amen. Amen. I agree with that. I identify with that. Amen. It's a further proof that the token is there. He said, And you are not yourself no more. You are Christ. You don't think your thoughts. You don't think your thoughts. You say, I have no thought coming. The life that was in Christ is in you. The mind that was in Christ is in you. The works that was in Christ is in you. And Christ Himself is in you. You are dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. Okay? I've got to come down here pretty quick, so hold with me. I'll do my best, Brother Derek. Amen. He says, move all the worldly trash, all the things of the world, because you can't love the things of the world. All your unbelief in God's word, remember, He promised these things in the last days. Anything in your life that's against that, move it out and get ready and bring the token in. Then apply the token with prayer, with consecration, and be convinced and concerned about it. As I read these things, I sincerely pray that it creates in us a desperation and a determination and faith, a faith to realize this is for us. This isn't just some dead thing, you know, said years ago. What God wants us to be, He will also provide. He will have a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle. We've all been privileged to hear the message. And that for a purpose. What is that? It was sent to dress the bride. And the fact that you heard the message should encourage you. Amen? That God has called you to Himself. He just doesn't want to leave it. He just wanted us to be hearers only and not doers deceiving ourselves. He wants us to be doers of His Word. Amen. And He's doing a work in you. There's no way that you can save yourself. There's no way that I can save myself. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, you better really have the token shining, but the hour is here for the Exodus. This time we're going to a promised land, the promise of eternal life. This is staging ground. This is getting coming home time. And this time we're going to a promised land. This token shows that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, shows that Christ has met every requirement for us. Christ has met every requirement for us. In other words, we don't keep looking at this person here. Our focus is entirely on Jesus Christ. Amen? He has met every requirement for us, that we are in our nature fallen sons of God. We have no power within ourselves. We have no life within us. We're a fallen race of people from Adam. But when we can display the token, the word, and we become the same, shows that Jesus Christ met the requirement for us in and death and has displayed His token within us. Oh, how simple. See, God has done it all. Jesus has paid it all. Amen? We are condemned. We were all condemned. And there's no way to save ourselves. And God sent us a token. He killed His Son at Calvary for us. And the life that was in that blood, when it was shed at Calvary, has come back, that life, to be a token upon us. Amen? And if we're baptized in the token into the body, then we're subject to the gifts of the Spirit that's in there. Think about that. You're placed in the body of Christ. When you're baptized, you're placed in His body. That means then that you are subject to every gift that is in that body. Why is that? Because He makes those gifts for the edification of that body. In order to get the effects of the gift, you have to be able to receive that. Amen? We'll be of one mind, one accord. Amen. Just moving right along here. In Him is all the fullness. In Him is all the fullness of God, all the fullness of the promise. When we were baptized in Him, we have made promise that God made, laid at our fingertips. Now listen to this, guys. There is no sin in there. There is no death in there. And even sickness cannot stay in its presence. I'm very thankful to hear the testimony of our brother in Argentina who had a heart attack, whom the Lord raised up again and touched our brother. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a lot of things I don't understand. God is all powerful. No sickness should come nigh thee. If it does touch you, we can rebuke it in Jesus' name and it should go. Brother Branham says when it fails, he says we need to call a solemn assembly and go to fasting and praying. This shouldn't happen. How is it that men died, you know, like they're an AI? What happened? He said, unbelief. He said, sin in the congregation. He says that wedge, he says, can cause this congregation to miserably fail. Think about that. God does not want, does not type that His church should fail. Amen. If Satan puts his hands on you and tries to tempt you into something, you hold your token in your hands and you show it that you are a redeemed product of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let your unadulterated faith wave that token there and say, I'm a product that Jesus Christ bought. Amen. Sickness flees. See, that's what should be with us always. Amen. Should be with us always. And it is, if we have faith. Amen. How is this going to happen? The same one that required the token also said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How could we possibly be perfect? We can't. The only one that is perfect is the perfect one. Again, see where identification is. Identification is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Second Corinthians 10:12 said, For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Okay? Salvation is wholly of God. Romans 9:15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen? Romans 5:8 states, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, so it's not our hapless, sin-sick condition that is any hindrance as far as God coming into your life and cleansing you. You see, it's Him that does it all. He paid it all. He's the one that's got to do the cleansing. Amen? Even though the children of Israel were promised that they would be delivered, and it was told that it would happen 400 years ago, yet they had to cry out for their deliverance. Think about that. They had something that they had to do. The Lord moved upon their hearts to cry out for the deliverance that God had for them already. Think about that. Think about that. We who know that we have to put on the token has got to be on display. The Lord requires it in this day. The token is available to us and He wants for us to cry out for that token. He wants us to hunger and thirst for that which He has for us already. Amen? Amen. Would you please turn in closing? Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. 9. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. That was Luke chapter 11, verse 9. It shall be opened unto you. Give him a little moment here for anybody still turning. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. These are promises, saints. Then he asks you, it's down on our level. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? What's the answer to that question? No, of course not. Be a perverted father to do something like that. Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Think about that. See, the Lord wants to give you the Holy Ghost. He wants to give it to you. He will not deny anyone who in sincerity come to him in faith and true, genuine hunger to give him the Holy Ghost. This is the time we put on the token fully, saints. You want to get the world away? The only way that I know of to get the world away is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you turn your face to Christ, you automatically turn your back on the world. It isn't by you shunning the world. It's by you giving your heart wholly to Christ. And he causes your taste for the things of the world to subside. And hereby you know you have the love of God in you. Hereby you know you have his love. As where you don't have the taste of those things. As you face towards Christ, you automatically turn away from those things. It's a natural outcrop. It's not meant chastisement, saying, it's saying, you want to love God, and your love for the Lord, take those things away. That's how you overcome. That is how you overcome. Amen. 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 Brother Branham says, O sinner tonight, how can you walk away from this place out from under that token? How can you take any chance on any church membership or anything else? How can you afford to do it, seeing that we're living in a time when there is no hopes in politics? There is no hope in future. The only thing lays is the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ to get his church. Amen. Wonder if we could just bow our heads. We would. Amen. If the musicians could come. Amen. Wonder if you could play softly. There is a fountain filled with blood. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, Father, even though they come from such unworthy lips as these, Lord. For I very much, Lord, have need of these things, Father. I pray, Lord, there was a time when your spirit came so sovereignly, where the spirit of God came so heavy into a room where men coming in your presence would just lay prostrate in that presence and lay there for a whole day, not even moving, until the next day, Lord, because your holiness was present. Father, you're absolutely sovereign in all that you're doing, Lord. And Father, we see in your word that this is for us. We see in your word that we have this promise that any who ask for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that they would indeed receive it from you, because it is a promise. We pray if Satan has hold of anybody that's hindering them from coming to you, Lord, that you would move in their heart and your life, and you'd cut them free in name of Jesus Christ, that they would be, that Lord, that you would give them the willingness to let go. May they utter with their lips, Lord, I want to, I'm willing to let that go, whatever that is that's hindering my walk with you, that's hindering me from walking in the fullness of your power, the fullness of victory. It isn't getting clean first, Lord, and then coming to you. It's, Lord, deliver, Father, deliver. Give us that, Father, which you have promised. Fill us, Lord, we pray, with your fullness. Help us, O God, if there be anything else, Lord, that you'd reveal it, Father, that you can fulfill your word in us. The bride is to have the token. The bride is to have the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in her. All that was in God he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ he poured into the body. To where when the bride is lifted up from the earth, Lord, your spirit then bodily through the many members is lifted up from this earth, and tribulation will set in, Father. And these things that have been staying the hand, keeping back the hand of Satan, will be loosed. And oh God, we don't want to be part of that at all, Lord. We want to receive your full atonement now. The full atonement, Father, that you have paid it all and that your word is true. That it's, we're walking in its purity, oh God, not mixed with men's thoughts and ideas, Lord. Not by any denomination or anything else, Lord. But totally walking in that which came forth from you, from Christ, O God, and to the heart of every believer, Lord, that every believer then lays subject, O God, to your Spirit, even as your Spirit moves and quickens, Lord, the gifts that are in that body, Lord, to minister to your body, and as a light shining out into that dark world. Lord, you are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord. Amen. Ten filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains.
It's 54 in your Only Believe books.
Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
The dying thief, amen.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in that day.
To our feet, if you would, please.
Away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
Amen. The dying lamb.
Dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose.
Amen, it's true. have anything they want praying about? Is your heart right with God? Do you want to come and receive Christ if you have never? Amen. Amen. Anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Ningwa has been my and shall be till I die. Amen. And shall be till I die. And shall be till he's going to leave this Tuesday. He's going back to Kenya, amen, to go to school there. How many believe that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord? Amen. Never fear, Brother David. God is with you. Come on, let's all come up, please. Let's say hands on him.